You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Mike McDaniel out, head coach of the Dolphins. Could this be a destination for John Harbaugh? Who really knows? But here to talk about it all from the Be More Sports podcast. He has covered the Ravens since they moved from Cleveland 30 years ago, and he's covered John Harbaugh's entire career. Let's welcome back Jerry Coleman. Jerry, what's happening?
A whole lot these days, guys. How you doing?
Good. And you and John had an interesting relationship, but before we get to that, you've covered him since he got here. You're there out at one winning drive. You have your finger on the pulse. You do the podcast with Mike Preston. John Harbaugh going down Tuesday afternoon at 5 o'clock. How surprised were you? Because me and Nolan, anyway, assumed that if he didn't get fired on Monday, he wasn't getting fired at all. And then, less than 48 hours after that Steelers loss, he was out of a job. So for you and the other people that cover the team, what was the stun factor like?
On a level of 1 to 10, I think for some it was a 12. For me it was. Others maybe an 8 or 9. Listen, we understand what the fan base was clamoring for. And, you know, if you just listen to sports talk radio or just observe social media, you would think that 100% of the fan base wanted this guy fired. But something went down on Tuesday. It was hastily done. We didn't really hear from Steve Bisciotti or Eric DaCosta at all, but Steve Bisciotti put out this statement after the news broke hours later. So you decipher things. You know, you try to read between the lines. And what I've gathered from sources and from reading between the lines is that there was long meetings that took place on Tuesday. There were disagreements over certain things, whether it be keeping a coordinator or philosophy or who drafted who and how things were handled. And at the end of the day, they came to a decision to part ways, although much to Coach Harbaugh and his agent, Brian Harlan, Kevin Harlan's brother's credit, they made sure that in the writing it was, you know, terminated as a termination and not a parting of the ways, because that way he can collect up to $50-some million if he so chooses not to work.
All right. Now, a lot of reports too, Jerry, about why you mentioned some of the reasons that could have led to his termination, but lost the locker room. Lamar had lost faith in him, et cetera, et cetera. Again, you're around the team all the time. Did you sense that there was a lot of grumbling about John Harbaugh no longer being a guy that his voice resonated within his team, and in particular, you know, his star quarterback here?
Yeah, he had not lost the locker room, okay? That's for the outsiders to tell you. The people that go inside that locker room and talk to the players never got that sense at all. As far as Lamar, I think that's a different situation. I haven't seen Lamar come out and say anything about his former coach, the only pro coach he's had on, you know, on any social media format. I've seen him talk about his birthday yesterday and all sorts of other stuff, but nothing about the head coach. Other Ravens players have said something, and to me, it's kind of disrespectful. And when I hear some of the people that call into this radio station and other formats and diss the coach, this guy was here for 18 years. In a couple of years, you'll look back and probably wish you still had him around. I understand the blown fourth quarter leads, but let's not take the onus off Lamar Jackson, because all the pressure in the world is going to be on him going forward. This is a guy who's never come through in a big game situation. Harbaugh's won a Super Bowl, and you could say he won it with a lot of star players, whatever. He has the ring and the trophy. Lamar is still seeking that, something he declared he was going to bring to Baltimore when he was drafted. And I thought that Coach Harbaugh bent over backwards to accommodate Lamar. Something very telling next year will be to see if we have a different time with the training camp, because I've heard people say, oh, they didn't do that to accommodate Lamar. They 1,000% did that to accommodate Lamar's lifestyle. He likes to stay up late, whether it be playing video games or going to food trucks or something else. They did it where most teams practice early in the morning, and that's what the Ravens did for years. They moved it to the middle of the hot summer day. So they bent over backwards to accommodate this guy, and he's going to get paid. But I don't think he had a great ending with Coach Harbaugh.
Now, we played some of the more memorable Harbaugh moments and quotes yesterday, kind of wrap up all the different sides of his personality, good, the bad, everything in between, a lot of it humorous. And you were front row seat for a lot of that.
Yeah.
You were involved,
Instigator,
in a lot of that. Is there any moments that stand out to you? You look back on 18 years, it's a long time, but anything that stands out to you?
Yeah, there's been a couple over the years, Nolan. Obviously, the Buffalo episode, which he really sparked and went viral, that sticks out. Some of the first encounters I had with him where, you know, he was very uptight about things, didn't want to disclose anything about injuries or how he felt about certain players early on. He was very guarded, loosened up over the years. The relationship got better. I think he appreciates the fact that I'll criticize him when I was on the radio or doing a podcast and show my face at the facility the next day and be stand up about things. And, you know, like to have some fun with some of the questions I ask. But, you know, on the podcast, I said I thought he was too uptight about the injury situation. I thought he was a little corny with the T-shirts and the Mighty Man jackets that he gave out. But it worked for a time being.
Now, as far as what's next for him, sounds like start interviewing next week. But you almost feel like he could go maybe the Mike Vrabel route and sit out a year, maybe do some media, whatever it is, but try to re-enter the cycle next year? Or do you think that the best opportunities are here right now?
No, I think he's going to sit back and survey the situation. I have texted with him a few times. The only thing I'll share is he tells me he's in a good place, so he's very comfortable. And why wouldn't you be when you're standing to make $18.5 million next year, whether you work or not? So I could see him going to a television network. He's done some work for NBC in the past. I could also see him sitting back, waiting to see how the playoffs play out, and maybe choosing the best opportunity. There are certain organizations that, in conversations with him, and just hearing him talk in the past, he probably wouldn't want to coach the worst organizations you have in the NFL. And I know he's from Cleveland and spent some time in Ohio and all that, but I can't see him working for teams like the Browns, the Jets, the Raiders, the Cardinals have a vacancy. All these teams would get rid of their head coaches in a second to hire John Harbaugh. I'm just not so sure he wants to go there.
Jerry,
no
Cole,
matter how much money they offer. I mean, they could offer $100 billion, but he's already made close to that in his career. And I think his reputation and just trying to win and be in a good organization is first and foremost for him.
Jerry Coleman, Be More Sports Podcast. All right, Jerry, last thing for you. Now, as Harbaugh can, you know, maybe pick and choose what he wants to do, what are the Ravens going to do here? How long do you think this head coach search will last? And if you were choosing an offense or defensive-oriented guy, because everyone's pining for Mike McDonald, would you lean defense, or would you like bring in an offensive dude who could maximize the skill set that Lamar Jackson brings to the equation here?
Listen, I just saw the news about Mike McDonald and Mike McDaniel, I should say. Mike McDonald would be a dream to come back here to Baltimore. That's not happening. McDaniel would be a dream for the media in between the vape puffs, talking there at the mic. He would be great, very mellow and entertaining, but he's not getting the head coaching job. Some people would like him as the offensive coordinator. As far as who the Ravens eventually hire, it's a cavalcade of interviews right now, Bob, but if you were asking me to pick a favorite, I think it would be Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator out there with the Chargers, has ties to the Ravens, obviously, here in the past. A lot of people in the castle love this guy, but he's working for John's brother right now. So we'll see how that plays out. But that would be my first pick. Although I think you do have to have someone that's going to be able to help Lamar out. I don't think you should go all defense if you decide to hire a guy with a defensive background. You need someone that can work with Lamar, because Todd Monken and him had a very icy relationship at the end.
All right. Tell us about the podcast. Got a lot going on there for sure.
We had an emergency edition yesterday, Bob. We had to reconvene after the Ravens decided to fire their coach moments after we finished the podcast talking about the Pittsburgh game. So check it out. Mike lays out what went down at the castle on Tuesday and what's ahead for the Ravens. And we give our opinions and our memories of John Harbaugh from 18 years of covering him. There's no other podcast with two people who have covered John Harbaugh's career. So Be More Sports Pod is where you can see it or watch it. Be More Sports Pod.
Yeah, from what I understand, unparalleled access to the Orioles and the Ravens.
That's what it says there in the moniker. I don't know who would write something that corny, but you're right about that.
Jerry Coleman, always appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your Total Request Thursday.
You too, guys. Be well.
There he is, Jerry Coleman. We'll come back, reset for you. Got the whip around. Talk about what happened in the world of sports last night. Talk Maryland hoops. Chris Nockey. Terps lose again last night. Indiana gets them. Terps off to UCLA coming up on Saturday. And back to your phone calls at 410-583-1057. John Harbaugh is gonzo. Where he winds up, nobody knows. He'll have some opportunities for sure. But you're Eric DaCosta and Steve Bisciotti. You're hiring a new coach. Based on what we've seen last couple of years, do you want an offensive-minded guy, or do you want a guy that is more in line with the defense and then just bring in a guy who's really good as your offensive coordinator?
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport. Every game. Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Maryland.
Time for the whip around. 881057 the Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Mike Pope, other side of the glass, just tuning in. Mike McDaniel out in Miami as their head coach, 7-10 record this year. We talked about it earlier, Nolan. A lot of dysfunction going on. They probably have a GM in place, according to Jeff Darlington here, within the next couple of days, which would accelerate the head coaching search. As interesting as Mike McDaniel is, he is from that McVay Shanahan coaching tree that goes back many different layers. Considered to be an offensive guy. I wouldn't want him as the head coach of the Ravens. Not get this out of control, but say they hire a Minter, for instance, or a Chris Shula, defensive coordinator from the Rams. Just throwing out a couple of names hypothetically. Would you have a problem with McDaniel coming in running your offense?
Not really, no. I mean, I think you're pretty strong track record, and it seems like what gravitated teams and obviously the Dolphins to be interested in him in that coaching cycle whenever he got hired was the personality. Now, that never really led to anything good in Miami, and it doesn't mean he can't be a head coach down the road, but I think for right now, he's definitely got to go back to being a coordinator. It doesn't have to go all the way down to position coach where he started, but yeah, he seemed to have pretty good respect as a couple of years there. Really a good track record in San Francisco. Run game coordinator, then was the OC for 1 year, and that got him the job in Miami. I think, look, he's a different dude. You know, when you think about these football coaches, they more resemble the football players themselves. Yeah. They're big, or they were former players of McDaniel. Rose through the ranks in his own right, but he's not really what you would view as the prototypical football guy. But I think his personality always carried him. And I think, yeah, right situation, pairing him with Lamar, that might be a match in personalities. I'd consider it.
So Mike McDaniel, he's gone in Miami, and who knows, with LaFleur in Green Bay. Read some speculation that McDermott could be gone if Buffalo loses to Jacksonville.
Well, this is where
there'd
I think
be some interesting opportunities still.
The
available.
Harbaugh, yeah, the Harbaugh thing has really muddied the waters here. And I think that's, you know, he's saying that they're going to wait to start interviews next week because he wants to, you know, step back and just take a breather for a second. Not saying that's wrong, but I also think another part of that is to wait for some outcomes from wildcard weekend. Because we heard the reports, whether you want to believe them or not, that the six other vacancies besides the Ravens were interested in him, plus a couple mystery teams that hadn't fired their head coach yet. So I think there's at least one playoff team, a couple playoff teams that might say, well, if we're out here this first weekend, we might go Harbaugh.
Speaking of playoffs tonight, college football playoffs resume with the semifinals. First game, Fiesta Bowl, Miami against Ole Miss. You can hear the game on 105.7 The Fan. Miami has defeated Texas A&M and Ohio State to get here. And the Rebels, they beat Tulane and then Georgia. So the winner of this one will get the winner of Oregon and Indiana, which will be tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. So we're creeping closer to a national champion here in 25 season, 26. John Kensi Noel, big Christmas. His stay in Baltimore, at least on the 40-man roster, is brief. as the Orioles claim Marco Luciano from the Pirates, a former top prospect when he was in the San Francisco organization. But just because he was DFA'd, if he clears waivers, then you could send him to Norfolk if he assumes a minor league assignment. So he's not necessarily out of the organization, but he's definitely off the 40-man roster.
And I'd imagine
something tells me Luciano might get the same thing.
Was about to say the same thing, that this time of year, that's probably the strategy. Try to get as many guys to pass through waivers and then designate them to the minor leagues, stockpile as much depth as possible. And even we talked about it when Noel was claimed, that it was always going to be a project. It was always going to be a depth piece. So not losing any sleep over it. But it is always funny when you get that within the span of 24 to 48 hours. We claimed you and we're DFA'ing.
It's the whip around. Here on the Fan, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Mike Pope, other side of the glass. Well, you asked for it, you got it. Trey Young coming to the Wizards. Nolan was against it, by the way, Mike Pope. He comes to Washington for CJ McCollum and his expiring contract. Hell of a player. And Corey Kispert, great hair, great jump shot. They already have Luke Kennard, so kind of the same guy, you know what I mean? But Trey Young is the big point here. He'll take over. What does this mean for Bob Carrington? They drafted Trey Johnson. The Wizards did. They have a great young core led by Alex Saar. I thought Trey Young was overrated coming out of Oklahoma. He led the country in assists and scoring because he's a high-volume shooter and sometimes shot selection wasn't that great. But he's far exceeded my expectations as an NBA player, four-time All-Star. Led the league in assists last year. Mm-hmm. Is he the right guy at 27 to help bring together a young core?
I mean, I say no.
Right.
And I think the trade itself, and I was kind of hoping that Washington might get at least one draft pick coming back the other way, but you can't lose sleep over losing McCollum and Kispert. I mean, that's not why we're upset with the trade. It's about the fit and what this would do for the other young guys and their development. On paper, I just don't see a way that you can justify a ball hog volume shooter actually being someone that raises the young talent around him. And from a mentor standpoint, again, I've never met the guy. I don't know for certain, but all indications are that guys don't really enjoy playing with him. I don't think the Atlanta Hawks teammates there are really been out of shape that he's leaving town. It was already awkward enough him walking off the court last night in the middle of the game. Like, all right, I'll just pack it up and get out of here.
Yeah.
I don't think it makes sense. I mean, a couple of years back when they brought Westbrook in, you could say, all right, at that point in his career, he's kind of ball hog, stat filler, whatever you want to call him. But at least Bradley Beal was here, and they did win enough.
Made the playoffs.
Trey Young here, you win a couple more games, sure. But it's not going to be enough of a difference in terms of wins and losses. You're not going to sell more tickets because he's here. Trey Young isn't that guy. I just don't think this checks any of the boxes that I would want if I'm Washington.
And what is it, Bob Carrington, who we like because he's from Baltimore, and we'll get to him in a second because the Wizards did play last night. Now the ball's not going to be in his hands. He's going to play off the ball more, and I don't know. And he can hit from deep. But either way, the Wizards have made the playoffs since that 2021 season. And it's been a couple of years for Atlanta, who, by the way, was 2-8 when he played.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. And the zinger might be out the door, too, because they're already talking about bringing in Anthony Davis, perhaps, with the money they just cleaned up.
And I guess above all else, in a very offensive-driven league where everybody's scoring, and I mean everybody is giving you at least like 15 a night, pushing 20 a night. A guy that is a volume shooter that plays absolutely zero defense, that's not attractive to me at all.
It's the whip around here on the Starter Request Thursday. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Mike Pope on the side of the glass. Speaking of the Wizards, last night they lose to Philly 131-110. Bob Carrington, who we mentioned, at 18-3-7. Joel Embiid had 28 for Philadelphia. Also, as it relates to local basketball talent, Toronto taking on Charlotte. They're down in the closing seconds, and a Baltimore guy comes through in the clutch.
That's quickly coming back up. Oh, no!
Oh, yes.
No! Daniel quickly wins it for Toronto!
Emmanuel Quickley three-pointer at the buzzer after LaMelo Ball had put Charlotte up with less than 2 seconds left. Quickley finishes with 21, 4, and 2. Quickley, Baltimore, John Carroll, University of Kentucky, 21, 4, and 2. Toronto having a really good year based on their last couple seasons, 97, 96 over the Hornets. It was Detroit, 108, 93 over Chicago. Kevin Herter, 8 points, 3 boards, 4 assists. Jalen Smith, sticks. He's dealing with a concussion. He sat that one out. Speaking of Atlanta, without Trae Young, they beat New Orleans, 117 to 100. Derek Queen, Baltimore, 6-10 and 2 for the Pelicans there. Let's see. Phoenix beat Memphis, 117-98. Santi Aldama, Loyola had 7-3. Cam Spencer, Loyola, and many boys, Latin, many others, 14-3-5. Oklahoma City in overtime beat Utah, 129-125. Aaron Wiggins, Maryland, 7-7-4. SGA at 46. Golden State beat Milwaukee, 121-113. Pat Spencer, Cam's brother, DNP. Steph Curry had 31. Local college hoops, it was Loyola, 84-76 over Army. Navy beat Bucknell, 76-55. And the Capitals lose at home last night to the Dallas Stars, 4-1. When we come back, reset the program for you, maybe talking to Chris Nockey about what happened last night. Terps down at College Park as they're off to the West Coast for the next couple of games. Get back to your phone calls as well. 410-583-1057. John Harbaugh is gone. That's happened. That's a reality. He's not coming back. Who do you want to replace him? Not necessarily a name. Well, listen, but would you prefer an offensive-minded coach or a defensive-minded?
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Internet coach Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Mike Pope. Terps lose last night, off to the West Coast for fun and sun, I guess, and a lot of basketball for sure. And joining us now to talk about that from the Maryland Radio Network, longtime friend, longtime voice of the Terps. Let's welcome back to the show Chris Nockey. Chris, belated Happy New Year and all the other holidays we have missed since we last spoke. How's that sound?
Yeah, thanks, Bob. I appreciate that. Same right back at you.
All right, let's talk, before we get to Maryland, talk about Indiana and the Hoosiers. You know, the record is impressive enough. Struggled away from Bloomington for the most part this season, but got their mojo rolling towards the end of the first half, certainly through the second half. Wilkerson was incredible during that run. What do you think of Indiana? DeVries is a good coach, as we know. But what do you think of the Hoosiers here as we get into Big Ten play moving in through January and ultimately into March?
Well, I mean, they're good because they can score. You know, they got three guys at the 2, 3, and 4 spots who, you know, proven scorers, veterans, guys who've been around the block a little bit. DeVries is a very good coach, as you mentioned, for sure. I'm not sure they have the size to compete at the kind of the upper tier of the Big Ten. You know, Michigan's so daunting because of the size that they have. And, I just think that Indiana's going to struggle in that kind of a game. But again, they score. They're well balanced. And they've got a kid, that kid Wilkerson, who led both teams in scoring last night, is one of the great stories in D1 basketball this year. You know, he was at Sam Houston State last year, took the big payday, NIL payday, to go to Indiana, and the first thing he did was stroke a six-figure check to Sam Houston State, thanking them for his awesome time there. Yeah, I mean, it's a remarkable story, underreported story as well, and you don't get many of those, you know, a quality story about somebody doing something right.
All right, let's get to the Terps, and in particular, Adarius Adams, 5-star recruit, McDonald's All-American, flip from UConn. What's the process, learning process, Chris, been like for him? Because they're like Derek Queen, 5-star recruit, McDonald's All-American. He was the best player on Maryland's team from the minute he walked onto the floor. What's the process like, however, for a guy like Darius Adams, who's still trying to find his way in his niche, if you will, at this level?
I mean, I think one of the things that underscores is the anomaly that Derek Queen was, you know, not just, I mean, just in so many ways, Bob, skill level, an innate knowledge of the game, size, you know, he had all those things. I think you know, one of the things that Darius is struggling with is strength and size. You know, he's playing against college basketball's gotten older, particularly on the perimeter, and he's playing against men. So I think he struggled with some of that. And I know he loves to compete, but, you know, there's a pretty significant difference between playing an 18-year-old guy and a 23-year-old guy. So I think that's a part of it. I think Darius, too, is guilty of probably hanging his head a little bit. You can't worry about the last play because, you know, you can't control it. You got to worry about the next one. And I think he wears that on his sleeve a little bit. But it's been a tough road for him. He's certainly shown flashes, but, you know, it's incumbent upon him. You know, he's now, 15 games into his freshman year. You know, effectively, you're a sophomore now, you know, and it's unforgiving. You just can't look at it any other way. You got to improve and grow, and sometimes you have to do it at warp speed.
I wanted to ask you, get a coach's perspective here, because we talked to Buzz throughout the season, and you even heard it after the game last night where he's saying, you know, I like our shot selection. I think we're taking better shots now than maybe we were early in the season, but they're just not falling. And from a coach's perspective, I mean, how do you hammer that home to the players where it's like, keep throwing it up, keep throwing it up. I know they're not falling, but at some point it's got to break through. I mean, how do you prevent these guys from, you know, not getting demoralized?
Well, first of all, I think part of the equation here is Buzz is really deep into analytics, you know, and metrics. And he's pretty adamant. I asked him directly about the shot selection last night after the game and about the number of threes that they've taken. And his whole thing is he wants them shooting 40-41% of their field goal attempts from the three-point line. So, you know, he's going to be insistent upon that. And I think that ultimately he feels like over time the analytics bear out that, you know, they haven't borne it out in the last two games. But again, over the course of time, that it's the correct way to approach things. And but I mean, that's a part of the gig, Nolan, is you just have to, you know, you have to stay positive. There's still season left. There's still opportunities left. And, you know, I think that everybody's first reaction, and mine included, you know, is to go in and, you know, peel the paint off the wall in the locker room after the game. You know, you just that pissed about the result, but a lot of times it just doesn't do you any good. And it may make you feel temporarily better, but it's not very good for team building. It's not very good for morale, and it's probably not good for your soul either. So you just have to continue to build. I think Buzz by nature is that way, a builder, and he's still got some work to do for sure.
And West Coast trip coming up here, UCLA on Saturday, USC next Tuesday. What can you tell us about UCLA or what you know about them? Actually, you know, middle of the pack right now in the Big Ten, but they gave Arizona a fight earlier this year in non-conference.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot more was expected out of UCLA than they've actually produced. You know, I remember watching one of their games. They lost to Cal one night, and you know, one of the guys that they're missing from off of last year's team is the center from Michigan, Adai. You know, he's 7'4", and there is no substitute for a guy who gets you easy buckets. And he got UCLA easy buckets last year. He's getting them from Michigan this year, and I think they missed that in the middle. You know, they play hard nosed. Cronin is a kind of a he's a tough guy. You know, he's a lot of half court man. They'll fight you. They're sort of atypical from UCLA teams in of past because they're very blue collar. And they're a lot like Nick, you know, a lot like the coach. So it's a great opportunity. You know, go to Westwood, you play at Pauley Pavilion for God's sakes. I mean, for guys of a certain age, I mean, who wouldn't want to be at this game and a part of this game? I just think it's a great opportunity for this team.
Chris Knocke, Maryland Radio Network. Chris, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the fun and sun out in L.A. Say hi to the beautiful people for us, will you?
Thank you. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate it.
All right, Chris Knocke. Happy New Year, dude. Here's Chris Knocke, everybody. We'll come back, take your phone calls, 410-583-1057, reset for you as well. And you're going to join us, News from the Nest style. Also, if you're just tuning in, Mike McDaniel out as head coach of the Dolphins. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Mike Pope, it's Vinny and Haney here on The Fan. You're going to pretty much 12 o'clock hour, Nolan, outside of Buy or Sell, devoted to you, the people. So we're going to get to you and then some. Got the college football playoffs tonight, which you can hear on 105.7 The Fan, the Fiesta Bowl, Ole Miss taking on Miami, Hurricanes 1.5-point favorites in this ball game, and we'll do our picks for this one later on in the show. And they got a game tomorrow, and then the NFL wildcard round starts this weekend. Ravens looking for a new head coach. And some of the names before we get out to the phones, Jonas Schaefer, who we're going to talk to tomorrow, tweeted them out. These are candidates have been linked to the Ravens. Brian Flores, defense. Davis Webb, offense, was a quarterback for haircut at Texas Tech. Matt Nagy, offense, if I'm not mistaken, right? He was with that guy.
KC.
Yeah.
His OC. Yeah.
And the Bears coach. He was double doink. Wore a headband with no hair, which, I don't know. If you're slick watch, you can pull off. Vance Joseph, defense. Kubiak, offense. Weaver, defense. So the question we're asking is, to you, the people, replacing John Harbaugh, and I'm kind of putting it to the, Billick was an offensive coach who relied mainly on defense to win Super Bowls and get to the playoffs a few times. John Harbaugh was a special teams coach who delegated to his assistants. Everyone was bitching about Mike McDonald no longer being here, who's a defensive guy. So do you want a defensive guy to replace Harbaugh, who would maybe be Mike McDonald 2.0? And I guess mentor, if we're tracing roots, he was with Michigan, he was with both Harbaughs. It's kind of the same route. Or would you like an offensive guy who would hire a big-time defensive coordinator-level coach to replace Zach, or to maximize a defense that has been underperforming for the most part last two seasons?
I'm still leaning offense. I think the more I think about it, though, there's more of a volume of defensive guys that I'd be interested in. At this point, it's almost in my mind, for going offense, Clint Kubiak or bust. I don't know if I'm really drawn to any other offensive guys, if I'm being honest. So if you can't get him, then yeah, I got no problem pivoting to defense. And then maybe that would be an opportunity for like a Kingsbury to be OC at that, because Kingsbury's not going to be a head coach. He shouldn't be. But he could be my OC. So maybe it just comes down to being a numbers game. But if my number one, it's still Clint Kubiak.
Let's get out to the phones, hear what the people have to say. Let's go to College Park as we just talked Terps. Tico, thanks for holding your own with Bob Haney and Nolan McGraw. Mike Pope, what's up?
Bob, Nolan, what's going on, guys? Happy New Year to you guys.
Yeah, and same to you, man.
I hope Terps fix it, because, you know, nothing's going good in our beautiful state. But do you guys think, just a couple of quick things, what do you guys think about Mike McDaniel as our offensive coordinator, and we have Flores as our head coach? And do you think possibly, if the Bills don't make it, Harbs goes to the Bills? God bless you guys, and thank you, Harbs, for 18 years. We love you, man.
Well, no doubt. Hey, thank you, Tico. I'd have no problem with that scenario. There'd be irony there, because McDaniel replaced Flores as head coach of the Dolphins.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, but...
There's no beef between them. Nah, it was all the Tua comment.
Yeah. In theory, maybe they could drink beers together and ragle on Tua if they wanted to in private. But
not McDaniel. He's sober. But yeah.
But in theory, I'd have zero problem with that. Flores, with his defensive acumen, got the active lawsuit against the league, which may or may not be a thing. Jason Cole was on the show Monday, said it's not happening, him getting a head coaching job, but you never know. But him as the head coach, Flores, and McDaniel running the offense, sign me up. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I mean, the Flores thing, I understand the lawsuit, and that's probably a non-starter for some people in the league. You know, we just know how buddy-buddy the owners are with the commish.
What do they call it? The old boy network or whatever it is?
Sure. So I could understand that. But he would really have to prove in the interview process that he's changed, because it's not just the lawsuit. I think there was some credibility to the people saying that, well, he was a little bit too much of a hard butt, if you know what I mean.
Even like, Fitzmagic said he was kind of dictatorial, if that was their correct
word. That's what I'm getting at. And maybe he has changed. You know, maybe going back and focusing on being a DC, put things in perspective, it just kind of honed things in. Maybe he was trying to be a little too much like Bill Belichick, coming from that tree. I just think years, wisdom, age should naturally bring all of that. I don't hate Flores as an option. To me, if I'm going with him, it's for the personality and reigniting that that Ravens defensive DNA. And if that's what ultimately sells it, then how can you argue against it? I think the fan base would be on board for that too.
Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Andy in Dundalk. Andy, thanks for holding. What's happening on this Featured Artist Friday?
Hey, guys. I appreciate you having me on today. I agree with the caller yesterday. I think it was your first caller of the day. I think his name was Brian. I think Harbaugh was a fraud. I think we won in spite of him. And all that said and done, I was probably the hardest critic that called the shows. But at this point, I wish Harbaugh the best moving forward. I do. I don't have any animosity towards him personally. I just don't think he was a very good coach. Now I have a question for you. What about Belichick? I just heard someone say Belichick. Isn't there a possibility, or is there something that stops him from coming here? Why wouldn't we be interested in bringing him back to the NFL? Let him build his own staff and say, hey, you know, and see where we go from there. Because the only thing I'm interested in are Super Bowls. Winning in the regular season, that's all great, you know, for a few months. But when you're losing in the playoffs, it's just frustrating.
All right, Andy, thanks for the call. Bill Belichick, if memory serves, had nothing but praise for Lamar Jackson coming out of the draft. And I think a lot of people assumed that New England was going to take him in the second round, right?
Well, it would have had to have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Eagles won the Super Bowl. They had 32nd pick.
And
well, no, did the Pats not have a first round pick that year? Because they could have had him at 31.
But Belichick had said, you know, we were thinking about it. He had been linked to them. And Belichick had high praise. And Bill Belichick's on the record of saying that Burt Jones was the best pure passer he ever saw, because Bill Belichick's first job in the NFL was with the 75 Colts as a very young assistant. So, and he's from Annapolis. So there's ties. That being said, hell no to Bill Belichick. No. I don't want to get into ageism as I just gained another year today. But nah. And then with the drama with the girlfriend and hey, fist bump Bill Belichick for pulling off what you're pulling off with that one. But hell no. I mean, the last couple of years in New England were disastrous, to say the least.
Yeah. 73 for those that are wondering.
Right.
And Pete Carroll was 74.
Yeah.
We go
How'd
with
that
the,
work out?
The age thing. This is not the same Bill Belichick that won all those Super Bowls. That's all I can say. This is a completely different man, to the point where it's really kind of sad what's happened, you know, the past couple of years with, and not just the girlfriend thing. I mean, just the way he's moved, how petty he is. It, again, you're 73 years old and you're petty towards the organization that, you know, you won all those Super Bowls with and was loyal to you all those years. And you say, well, we've talked about, you know, Ravens being loyal to the Harbaugh for 18 years, 19 years in the case of Tomlin. You know, look, nobody's more accomplished than Bill Belichick, and he got fired and for cause. Because he showed he couldn't transition into a post-Tom Brady world. And he was also the one that was buying the groceries. You can't even use that excuse of, well, he didn't have the right team. No, he fully controlled. He was drafting. He was the GM. He was the complete overseer, and he failed. So this is not prime Bill Belichick. You respect the football mind, but I don't know. It's just not the same dude, man.
Yeah, and New England has moved on nicely. Thank you very much since he left. As they're one of the best teams in football with a quarterback in place in Drake May, who may be the MVP of the league when it's all said and done. And to your point, Brady left New England and won a Super Bowl in Tampa with the Buccaneers. We'll come back, take more of your phone calls at 410-583-1057. News from the Nest. Been asking the question all morning. John Harbaugh's gone. We gave you the list of names that have been linked to the Ravens already. I'm sure more to follow. Do you want an offensive-minded head coach who hires coordinators appropriately, or do you want a defensive-minded head coach?